Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my spirit be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Now, outside of Judas Iscariot himself, it's possible that Martha is at least the most commonly maligned character in the Bible. I don't mean maligned in an overly serious way, that she did anything egregious, but rather that her name is used so often in popular culture to describe the people or the things that frankly just pester us. Like most things, of course, that are popularized, we present a pretty clear-cut and simplistic understanding of Martha. She's used to describe others who are busybodies, who are frantic, who are focused on the minutiae at the expense of what's most important or before them. Mary is understood, on the other hand, as the sort of biblical ideal, as the person who we ought to strive to be, while Martha represents all that is undesirable not only with others, but within ourselves. In short, Martha is shortcoming. Martha is sin, perhaps not egregious sin, but sin nonetheless. We might be better served if we understood Martha in context. Notice the first sentence of today's gospel where the author remarks, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Notice the end of that sentence. Martha welcomed him into her home. Not anxious here, not distracted Martha, but hospitable. We can imagine Martha welcoming Jesus into her home, furiously cleaning, arranging children's toys out of place, cleaning the dirty dishes that were left over in the sink, trying to whip up a meal fit for a guest of honor. In short, we can imagine her desperately trying to please Jesus, to show him that she cares about and wants to serve him. We can imagine it, I imagine, because we do it ourselves. If we think of our own homes at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, Martha's hustle and bustle is probably deeply familiar, more than hospitality. This sense of busyness is part and parcel to welcoming others in our own culture. We show our care for others by making ourselves busy, by working. And so perhaps Martha's complaint to Jesus then feels deeply intuitive to us. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Maybe this sounds like a legitimate complaint. Mary isn't doing any work. We might even suggest that Mary is lazy, and clearly that is no way to honor a distinguished guest. And so in turn, how does Jesus answer Martha? He remarks, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, in Jesus' response, I think we learn two things. First, as we all know, we learn that Martha ultimately did the wrong thing. She didn't honor Jesus in the best way that she could have. She shouldn't have been so busy, been so distracted, but this busyness and this distraction was not, as we so often imply, the result of carelessness. That's the easiest way for us to understand this passage, because we can throw away Martha with such an interpretation. Instead, it was merely misguided endearment. She did all that This is what happens when you have a wedding at 4:30 on a Saturday and a sermon at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. So she did all that she did, not because she did not, there we go, love or care for Jesus enough, but precisely because she loved him. Her intentions were wholly good. In this, we learn to be careful about our actions. We find that even our best intentions can go awry, and we then learn to identify with and empathize with Martha, we come to recognize that we too are Martha. Perhaps we are Martha when we perform tasks for our church, holy, good tasks, but we get lost in the thing itself rather than that which it glorifies. Perhaps we get lost in the busyness itself rather than honoring a guest, so on and so forth. Second, we learn something here about the nature of work. Martha complains that Mary doesn't work, that she hasn't done anything to prepare for Jesus' arrival. And yet, when Jesus responds to Martha, we hear that Mary has done exactly what Jesus most needed. And what has Mary done? Mary, as the passage tells us, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. In Jesus' response, we are forced then to reconsider what work means. Work is no longer the efforts of our hustle and bustle, but also, or even more so, about stopping. It's about listening. It is work to sit down and to tend to the spirit of another. Work is doing what's hard. Sometimes that's stopping. In restlessness, we can imagine that we have tended to another by organizing and through our preparation, but Mary tends instead to what is most needed. She does the most challenging work of all. And most importantly, Mary's work is inefficient. Being vulnerable and seeking the vulnerability within others is no quick and easy process. Tending to and caring without seeking answer or solution. Her work is empathy, is curiosity. If we're able to value Mary's listening as the essential work that we're tasked with as humans, then we change our very understanding of what it means to be human itself. In listening to Mary, we shift our focus from a need to do to a need to be. Our primary goal is not to be vehicles for efficiency, making a perfect world out of our environments to complete an endless torrent of assigned tasks. Though this is sometimes necessary, of course, if we're dominated by this outlook, we'll find ourselves in the midst of a quite hollow and unsatisfying version of human life. Martha's problem was not her lack of care for Jesus or that she didn't want to do the right thing. Martha's problem was that she associated her value merely with doing, that she expressed care and assumed others needed care merely through what she could do for them. Mary, on the other hand, chose merely to be. She knew that what would make Jesus feel at home, would make Jesus feel loved, and what would make herself feel whole was to listen. She knew that growth, that connection, that love is found in our capacity to dwell with one another more than it is found anywhere else. And so our task then today is about discerning what we are to do and more about discerning where to dwell. Our task as Christians is not to compile and to complete a never-ending list of nice things to do for people or to solve unfortunate problems of the world, but instead to figure out alongside whom we are to hang out. Who is the Spirit calling us to build relationships with? Who are we called to listen to? Who are we called to be transformed by? The truth of this story is, I hope clearly, that we are neither Holy Mary nor Holy Martha. We are often distracted and misguided despite our best efforts. We too are empathetic. We listen. We slow down. Our very nature as humans is to exist in the midst of both of these things. And our task is to feel content and being somewhere in between. God has not called us to be vessels of perfection. God has called us to be vessels of dwelling, of accompaniment with one another. We are both Mary and Martha. And my prayer for us today is that we may grow in patience and perseverance so that we may grow in our ability to dwell with one another. Amen.